Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, brought to you by Boston Connect Real Estate Services. Connect with Sharon now at 781-837-4900 and online at bostonconnect.com. Now, here's Sharon McNamara.
Hi, this is Donna Bagney of Boston Connect Real Estate. I am sitting in for Sharon McNamara, who is taking some quality family time. Here in the studio, we've kind of got a full packed house. We have Cindy Ford of Boston Connect with a return performance. Cindy's one of our top producing agents in our office, and she's here to greet everyone and talk with Steve from Imperial. Hi, how you doing, Cindy?
I am fabulous. How are you, Donna?
I'm good. Little stuffed.
Yeah.
Lots of turkey.
Yes, lots of turkey. I did the paleo Thanksgiving, so I'm good. I'm not stuffed.
God love you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I guess that's I should fabulous. Think about doing that. We also have Steve Cook here from Imperial.
Hey, good morning,
Home.
Donna.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Yeah.
You look a little tired.
Yeah, a little bit. Had to walk off all the food we ate on Thursday there, so I do the Black Friday through the mall.
Good.
Yep, get a little exercise.
Yeah, buy anything good?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. Yeah, something tells me
a lot of tempting things.
And we also have Rick Miriam, who is currently a new agent here with Boston Connect, who has joined us, and he's going to help us talk about home inspections. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Well, I'm certainly going to try, but if I pass out, you'll forgive me. I still have turkey coursing through my veins.
Yeah, join the group.
Whether that tryptazine or so.
Yeah, whatever that is. I don't know. I just know it's more like naptazine because it puts me right down.
Absolutely. All right, Steve. We were kind of thinking we wanted to talk about a home inspection.
Sure.
Wondering if you could kind of maybe take our listeners through that process,
beginning
to end?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
You know, beginning and, you know, once you do book the call with us, we'll give you a time and place and, you know, get the address. And so we usually meet at the property, and home inspectors are usually notoriously early by about 15 to 20 minutes. So if you show up a little early, we probably would be there. And most home inspectors, they start on the exterior of the home. And usually it's good if the client or, you know, whoever's, you know, present usually stays with the inspector, you know, during the inspection period. That way, as you come across things during the inspection, you can, you know, just don't get the report at the end. You get the good visual, you know, representation.
Which is nice because you allow them to walk around with you and you don't mind answering questions, because a lot of times our first home buyers, you know, this is their first rodeo.
Exactly.
You know, so it's nice to be able to have somebody to point it out. Can you shout out your phone number and company for us?
Sure. The name of the company is Imperial Inspection Services, and we have two offices, one located in Braintree and one on Cape Cod. And phone number to reach us is 1-800-440-1141. Again, 1-800-440-1141.
Wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
But, you know, on the outside, that usually takes pretty much about 25% of the time to do the exterior of the home. And as I say, usually it's better if you tag along with the inspector. That way, if he comes across things, it's a little easier to see it, you know, rather than just written down on the report. Plus, if you have any, you know, particular questions on how things operate or particular concerns with the outside, you know, you can ask the inspector as you're, going through. But some of the items that we check, you know, on the outside will be the major components, you know, being the roof, chimney, foundation, siding of the home, entries. You know, if you have a garage, be operating the garage door, checking the safety mechanisms that they're electric garage doors to make sure that they're working properly.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. Next step, generally we go into the basement, and before we head down there, we crank up the heat in the house or the AC, depending on the time of year, and we usually run that, you know, for a good hour and a half, you know, during the inspection.
Okay. One of the questions about testing the air conditioner, like right now, you know, the colder weather is here, a home has central air.
Right.
What happens? Can you turn it on? Is there a certain temperature degrees?
Yeah. The way our company works with the air conditioning, usually if the ambient or the outside temperature is 60 degrees or below, we will not run the units. You know, some you know, you can run it below 60 degrees. It doesn't cause any damage to the units, but not knowing which ones are temperamental with the temperature, you don't want to turn it on, because usually last person, you know, they have their hand on the thermostat. If something bad happens, or if the compressor was bad before you turned it on, they're going to be looking, and you get a lot of AC guys say, why did he turn it on? He knew better. You know,
right.
It's under
60. Now a homeowner is left with the fact that they have central air, but they can't verify or have it tested.
Exactly. It's like in the summertime when it gets above 80, 85 degrees. We really can't run the heat, you know, but we can check the AC because, you know, most thermostats go 75 to 80 degrees.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are some of the limitations. Same thing if we get a house that's, you know, foreclosed on or a short sale. Mm. A lot of times you go into those properties. Electricity is shut off, gas is shut off. So you do more of a visual, but you get everything else of the inspection for termites, roof condition, you know, structural issues.
So are you doing termites on a regular basis now?
Yep. Every inspection that we do a visual for any wood-boring insects and a visual for rodents on there.
Okay. Yep. Wonderful. Rick, you got any questions?
I do, actually. I went through this process myself, you know, a few months ago, and I learned a lot what just going through and with the inspector, seeing what he pointed out and the things that he had to say. So my question are, what would the average homeowner really be surprised? What are the things that they're not watching in everyday or year-in, year-out routine that are the most common things that they're surprised about when you point them out in an inspection?
Most of the time it's insects, you know, termite damage, because it's something most homeowners do not go downstairs every week and, you know, get the wood components to check for any damage or looking for mud tunnels. The other, which we come across quite a bit, is water in the electrical service. You know, we pull the panel cover, we take a visual look inside there, and a lot of times you see areas that are very heavily rusted and, you know, the connections at the top. You get a lot of corrosion of rust. And those are some of the surprise issues that people, you know, that we come across.
So generally they should maybe be going down there every once in a while with a flashlight and just taking a peek around. Preventative maintenance is the key.
Yeah, preventive maintenance, but I wouldn't recommend taking a panel cover off or anything like that. Sometimes you can look visually around the outside of the panel box. If you see a lot of rust at the bottom and the sides and the top look pretty clear, or off the face of the circuit breakers, you see any rust stains coming down the front of the breakers, you may want to have an electrician come through, pull a cover, and, you know, do a little preventive maintenance or take a look in there to make sure there's no concerns.
Excellent.
Yeah, because water and electrical, you know, don't mix that well.
Right.
Absolutely.
You got it, yeah. You know, we had one just about 3 weeks ago. We pulled the panel box off, and it didn't show any signs from the outside and the main breaker, which is the one breaker that turns off all the electricity to the home. It was half melted on one side inside.
Ouch.
And then you can see where the water, you know, was coming down right inside the service panel. And, you know, the homeowner had no clue. And it's all fixable stuff, you know. We go into homes sometimes, we fall through floors, you know, push on a window, it's very loose. But a lot of times the price reflects the condition of the home. So we're not there to say if the value is there, we want to let them know what's right and wrong. And then the buyer can take it at that point. And it's something, if it fits into their budget or they're expecting these type of repairs to be done, you know, it all works out well at the end.
And you're looking at the structural and the mechanical portion of the home.
Right. And then the visual, you know, the walls, floors, and ceilings on the main floor upstairs. Yeah. You know, window operations, doors, making sure they open and close. There's no big gaps. You know, when you close a door, like, you know, the one I left just this morning, you know, the door, when I shut it, you could see right into the hallway. And if you give the door a little push, it goes beyond that into the hallway. And we found out, you know, the structure down below settled, you know, quite a bit. And those are some of the telltale signs to say, hey, go look at something, you know, down below this area. You know, something as simple as closing a door can point you to, you know, a potential concern below.
Right, exactly.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you've got all eyes on deck.
Exactly. That's why a lot of times, you know, when the inspectors go through, it's kind of regimental when they do the inspections. Most guys, they say, they start outside, then they go downstairs in the home. Every once in a while, you know, you get a situation where someone's sleeping and they ask you to do the inspection a little bit different. You know, sometimes that throws a little wrench into it or, you know, creates, you know, a longer inspection than what you normally would do.
Exactly. And if the door's closed, always knock.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Been there, done that. You never know if there's pit bulls on the other side there or
a
grumpy sleeping person.
I have a question for
you.
Can you tell me if, you know, the new TRID rules, does that affect your inspection in any way, shape, or form?
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. And if we didn't know they went into effect, or if I wasn't, you know, with you guys all the time, we wouldn't even know about them.
You wouldn't. Okay.
So you're still looking at the things that a lot of the financing now is going to be requiring in regards to, you're already doing the pests. The peeling paint is a really big issue.
Yeah, not so much the peeling paint, but in the same thing, you know, touching base on the insects inside the home, you want to make sure that when you do book your inspection with the home inspector, that he does take a look for insects, because under the Mass law governing the home inspectors and what we should inspect or what we have to inspect, insects is not part of performing a home inspection if you're doing just a basic one to fulfill your license requirements.
Right. So I would think that as licensed real estate agents walking into a home that is potentially going to be put on the market or one that we are working with buyers, is that we as agents should be looking at these things, anticipating that there could be an issue coming down the line from the financing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially, yes, with FHA, they've become extremely strict, almost as strict as the VA loans now. And the appraisers are looking at things that they didn't look at before.
We understand appraisals now are going to basically be like a home inspection.
Right. I've talked to a couple of appraisers and say, wow, they're really making us extend beyond, you know, what the value of the house is, and they want us to do these little visual, you know, home inspector type things and not really delve into it, but, you know, write up some of these additional things that we've never been had to before.
Yeah.
So, obviously going into the colder winter months here.
I gotta tell you, his voice is absolutely fantastic.
Okay. I know.
Ladies, I tell you, wow.
I think Sharon made a comment about that on more than one occasion.
Yes. We actually, this is Rick Merriam, who is a Boston Connect real estate agent. Hello. So once again, welcome.
Thank you. So in going into the winter months, what are the type of things that you're going to find more commonly in the winter, maybe on the exterior of the house, as things tend to contract as opposed to the summer months?
Yeah, usually cracking and things of that nature. But, you know, last year, you know, with the winter that we had, ice dams was really, really prevalent last year. Mm-hmm. And we actually go to some houses and there's ice and water coming before, you know, beyond the, you know, from behind the siding. And I'm not just talking, you know, 3-inch, 4-inch icicles. Some houses you go to, 5-6 foot icicles coming from behind the wall of the house.
Wow.
Yeah. And those are the houses that are really, really bad with the ice dams.
So with you being outside a lot in the winter, I'm hoping that you're thinking it's going to be a very short winter.
I hope so.
Because you don't want to be out there with your boots and your...
You got it. You go with the flow. Last year, you know, 4 or 5 foot snow and you just kind of trudge through it and take the good with the bad.
What if you can't even get to the side of the house because there's so much snow? How do you handle that situation?
Yeah, a lot of times last year when you had that 4 or 5 foot worth of snow going up the site, which you can't see, you can't inspect.
Wow.
You know, and a lot of times you make a notation, you know, the base 3 or 4 feet of house cannot be inspected due to snow.
And Cindy, how does the VA handle that with their loans? Because they're more particular and they want to make sure that everything is inspected thoroughly.
Honestly, I don't know because I haven't had a VA loan in the middle of the winter. The person that bought your property was a VA loan, and they were extremely strict there. I think that, I'm assuming, Steve, that you can't inspect what you can't see regardless. So they might, do you know what happened if certain things couldn't be inspected, like at all?
A lot of times it's what you can inspect, that's as far as you can take things. You know, it's like if you have a potential or you see termites in a sill down below and you say, geez, it possibly could be going up into the wall of the house without physically making a hole in the wall or chopping open the side and outside.
Right.
You're just not going to know what's
around
happening.
The perimeter of the house, you couldn't see where maybe potentially there had been treatment done in the middle of the winter, like if there's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
There.
You wouldn't be able to see the Centricon or the little green container, or sometimes the drill holes from the type of treatments that they do for that. You don't see it. So those are the limitations.
Yeah, I did not. Donna, you any? I didn't have any inspections in the winter because I couldn't get people to come to houses.
I actually had an inspection during the middle of the snowstorm. I actually sold like the beginning of February.
Right.
And it was fortunately a conventional loan. So therefore, the parameters, and I know that, you know, we're talking home inspection, but it all is going to kind of feed into each other. The parameters were very loose.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, just to get somebody to plow the driveway so that we could get in there to do the home inspection, because the people were snowbirds, lucky them, and they were in Florida. So I just kept calling and saying, we got to plow. And It was things that couldn't be seen. But fortunately, it was in the house was in good condition. So I think once it melted, there were no really big surprises.
Did the water penetrate?
Hmm. You know, I mean, we had 5 feet of snow that had to melt and go somewhere. It's against the house.
Right.
You know, it's going to find a way in. So I think that's what a lot of people dealt with. But I was fortunate on that one.
Yeah, because that's one of the toughest. You know, you got that 4 or 5 feet of snow. You can't inspect the roofs, chimneys, mm-hmm. you know, gutters, anything. Siding. You know, trim, everything's just covered, you know, with snow. So it's just something, you know, entries to the home. A lot of times you can't even open the garage doors because the plow guys were just pushing the mm-hmm. snow. Didn't have any other place to push it, you know, right. up toward the garage. And unfortunately.
Mine's crooked now.
Right? You got it.
Mine's crooked. I need a new garage door.
Oh, wow.
Anybody wants to call me? We are getting ready to take our first break. Once again, I am here with some of our fabulous agents. I am Donna Bagney, who is covering for Sharon McNamara. Cindy Ford is here with us, as well as Rick
Merriam.
Merriam, thank you, Rick.
Just like
I'm
the
so
dictionary,
sorry.
Remember those things we used to use before the internet?
And Steve Cook from Imperial Home Inspection. His phone number, if you need to reach him for any questions or to have him come out and take a look at your house, it is 1-800-440-1141. We are Talk Radio with Sharon McNamara at WATD in Marshfield.
Imperial Inspection Services, complete home inspection services, radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing, lead paint inspection, Title V inspection, pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week, 1-800-440-1141, or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in 2 convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services, 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
50% more Talk Real Estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara, now 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Talk Radio with Sharon McNamara, who is currently spending some quality time. My name is Donna Bagney. I am a licensed real estate agent with Boston Connect. I'm here along with Cindy Ford, Steve Cook from Imperial, and Rick Merriam from Boston Connect. We're going to take our second section in. Cindy kind of had a good question that she wanted to lead into on this.
Well, I just wanted to mention to Steve that often when, as a listing agent, when I'm going into a property and someone may have lived there a long time or maybe not a long time, I recommend, so that there isn't any shocks when the inspection occurs, I recommend that they have an inspection themselves to prepare the property so that there are no surprises or, you know, things that you know, that you had no idea that were going to come up. And that occurred with Rick. I actually was the listing agent on Rick's property several months ago, and somehow I lost that client because now he's a real estate agent. So I obviously did my job
Well, we see each other a lot more now. So
yes, yes. But Rick, why don't you tell us some of the things? And you had lived in your house how many years? Was it five?
I was there for 6 years.
6 years,
and it was very well maintained. I had great pride of ownership. I redid several rooms, new paint, a lot of new upgrades to the bathroom, and I should have had the home inspection done ahead of time, just a preventive one to kind of get an idea of what I was looking at. And then when the inspector came, they actually found mold in the attic, which I don't know what
that four-letter
like.
Word.
So, yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you can't really, unless you know specifically what you're looking for. Now I do. But even if you do, sometimes it's really hard to see. So that must be pretty common.
It is pretty common. Probably about 50% of the homes we do come across mold to some extent inside. We are not mold inspectors, but if we do see anything suspect inside the home, we put mold-like substance, recommend to, you know, consult a specialist. And he'll be coming in there and testing that mold, and one saying, you know, is it blue cheese, you know, good mold, or does it contain mycotoxins where it's something's bad? And then he can kind of point you to the right directions on remediation.
Yeah, remediation was not inexpensive, so
nope.
Something you want to have.
So in your attic, did you have the black, kind of the blackish? I know that in my home there, the bathroom fan is not vented. Bathroom.
Yep.
So I'm assuming in that attic, which only has a crawl space area, that there would be the black.
Yep.
From
sometimes
the
black mold, and you know, sometimes it could be from a bathroom. Could just be the position of the house with the trees, poor ventilation, not mm-hmm. enough ventilation inside the house, ventilation that's been blocked up. And you know, for example, like the house I left just before getting here today, we went up in the attic, and it was white and black on the roof boards up in the top, which it just is that mold-like type substance. Mm-hmm. And where the nails penetrated that held the roof shingles down, they stuck into the attic by about a half of an inch, and on the ends of them there was actually water droplets, and it was actually dripping up in the attic. And come to find out, you know, just very, very poor insulation. And what they did is they over-insulated the house, but didn't increase proportionally on the amount of ventilation when they did that. So that caused this problem very quickly, too.
So you did have the remediation done?
I had the remediation done. Yeah, it was fairly expensive. And for a problem that I didn't even know was a problem. And I had the white haze mold, kind of. It wasn't a dark mold. It was a very light mold substance up there. And when they came, they were very informative. And they when they were remediating it, there's a word. And he said basically the problem had probably been there for many, many years. And you know, if it wasn't for the VA loan, he probably would have just left it alone because it wasn't going to interfere. It's a full walk-up attic. And it was probably compounded by the fact that it had a window up there, and the window didn't have a shade. So I think the condensation maybe on the inside of the window between the inside and the outside basically gave rise to moisture inside, which gave rise to mold.
Right.
Not fun.
Yeah, it's not a good word to hear during the inspection.
I don't like
all
that
ears,
word.
Well, perk
and,
up.
And mold comes in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. So, you know, it to people, they get very nervous, you know, which I understand, but in order to determine what it is, you really need to have it tested.
Have the specialist come in, then you know what you're dealing with.
And then they do the right thing, and you go to remediation, and
it's a tough one. Remediation.
Yeah.
It's a tough word.
Yeah.
And an expensive thing to have done.
But was there something else during the inspection that about your shed that you, shocked you that they went out to the shed?
Absolutely.
I'm trying to remember back because that was many houses ago, but it was the poor guy. He was like, they're out at my shed and I have to have this done. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
And this actually ties right into the termite thing earlier, Steve. So they had inspected. There was no evidence of termites there, but there were termite castles.
Right, the little termite tubes, yes.
So at some point, maybe something was done, but there was no evidence of anything. And the inspector came out and inspected the house, and he said, this is absolutely fine. There's nothing that needs to be done.
Right.
And then the VA made him go back to inspect for termites, what Cindy is referring to, in the shed on the property, because he didn't list that as part of his report. So then he had to come back and go and found the same thing. So don't forget about the external structures that you have, too. Detached garages, sheds on your property.
Right. That's why it's important when you do sign up the inspection, if you are doing any of the VA, FHA, USDA, or Mass Housing or any of those type of loans, if there's a special thing that needs to be done, let the inspection company know before you book it. That way they can make the arrangements at that time. Because once we leave the property and we have to come back for a second visit for something that the bank throws out at the last minute or something that wasn't
And that even falls with the fact that if you're purchasing a home and doing a home inspection on it, if the home happens to have a well, it's really, really highly recommended that the home inspector takes a water sample and you send that off.
Bring that off to the lab.
Yeah, I had one that I had to do. We had an offer in on the property. We had the water sent to the well. Within 14 hours, I personally got a phone call from John, that he needed me to immediately contact the homeowner because there was
chloroform,
very high quantity of chloroform in their well water, and these people had two small children and two dogs living on the property. So I quickly picked up the phone and I called the listing agent and I said, I need to give this information to you. It was an easy fix for them, but my buyers decided, I don't think I want to go there. It was a lovely house. It did, in fact, get cleared up, and they were able to sell it.
Right.
But, well water is something that you definitely should check.
Plus, that's something, that comes into play 24/7, inside the home, because, between showers, drinking it, and whatever, water is a key thing. So if you do have well water, it's definitely something you want to have
tested. He turned on the faucet, and I was like, whoa, what is that smell?
Oh, you probably had that sulfur odor.
It was horrible. Yeah. It smelled like rotten eggs.
Yeah, and sometimes if you just, if you do smell it, turn off the water, turn on the cold water, and let that run for about 5 minutes. If you have the smell, it's definitely coming from the well. If you're not getting it from the cold water, turn on the hot water by itself, and then it's a contaminated or a bad hot water tank. So sometimes it's not always the well. It could be the hot water tank that's breaking down inside to cause that sulfide, especially if the tank has been sitting unused, for quite a period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, once again, this is Talk Radio with Sharon McNamara. Donna Bagney is hosting. Hello, everyone. We just wanted to let you all folks know Cindy Ford is here with us from Boston Connect. We have the privilege of Imperial Home Services, Steve Cook, as well as Rick Merriam. We have 26 days left for Christmas shopping.
The countdown is going
the
on.
Countdown
wasn't it January like yesterday?
Uh-huh. God, it's going faster and faster.
And I know one thing Cindy was mentioning is thinking about having a pre-inspection on the home. Mm-hmm. Before you put the house on the market, if you're not into maintenance or don't know the house as well as you should, or if it's a part of an estate, it's always a good idea to have a pre-inspection in the home. And that's about 10% of our business that we do the pre-inspections. And it's basically exactly the same as a home inspection as we go through. But a lot of times it stops that stumbling block of when you do have a buyer coming in, he discovers that now all of the brakes are on and they may walk and you're tying the house up for a couple of weeks and then you got to take that whole process and start off again. Mm-hmm. At least this way here, if you find something wrong with the house, you can either, price the house accordingly
or
address it and fix it beforehand. Mm-hmm. And, about 99% of the houses that we do pre-inspections, they usually go first buyer that comes in there and, if they're comfortable, knowing that the house did have termites and it was treated rather than getting there and say, oh, this place had termites, we don't want anything to do with that. Or,
and sometimes that shock value upsets the homeowner. Rick is, on top of things. You were still shocked at some of the things that came up because you had absolutely no idea. And you do had a beautiful home with much pride of ownership. So how often do you and you have a walk-up attic?
I was surprised. I know. I was up there. That's the thing. I was up there all the time because I had to move a lot of boxes down into the basement to make it easy to move when the time came. So I was always up there and, made sure that it was clean and well kept, very well swept up there, and I had no idea. Maybe kind of explains a few things about my asthma, but I digress. So, and then when he pointed it out there, it was clear as day. It's like, oh, that's what that is. But as somebody who wouldn't know what to look for that, I'm just, oh, this is what the inside of my roof looks like.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we carry this like little black light, Yeah. And when you turn it on inside of a dark room, and it does have actively growing, like, you know, yellow or red, you know, mushrooms coming out of there. It just kind of glows like this psychedelic room inside. Yeah. And, yeah.
God, I remember that. Oh, yeah, now I'm dating myself. You know, black lights.
So going to the other, well, the bottom of the house. So let's talk about radon. You guys do radon monitoring testing
as
well?
Yes, we do. Yes. Yeah. And as you say, the bottom of the house, and that's generally, if radon is present, it's going to start in the base and it's going to, you know, work its way up. So sure. When they do the radon inspection, they'll be testing the lowest, you know, livable area inside the home, you know, for the radon.
So most people, unless you have bought or sold a house, probably aren't too familiar with radon. So the presence of it, they don't even know what it is. It's something that...
Yeah, it's actually a naturally occurring radioactive gas, and it's actually a daughter product of uranium. And uranium's really down deep in the crust, and as that decays, it gives off certain daughter products, and radon gas happens to be one of them. And the reason it's more prevalent today is the houses are built so tight. You know, with the insulation, you don't have the air exchange that you had, say, 50, 60 years ago with a stone or a brick foundation or houses that weren't insulated as well, you know, storm windows and so. So radon gas tends to, you know, stay in the home. And if you think of radon gas as almost like a microwave, you know, if you're heating up your cup of tea in the morning, as soon as you open that door to the microwave, you can put your hand in there, grab the coffee cup. Same thing with radon gas. As soon as you open a cellar door or a cellar window, the radon gas is, you know, lowered or dissipated.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the type of...
So that's why usually it's just ventilated. It's just removed from the interior and vented to the outside.
Right. They put, you know, it's almost like a PVC pipe into the floor.
Sure.
And then that runs up through the house or along the outside of the house, and incorporated with that pipe is a fan, which actually draws everything up from...
Because that pipe goes past the floor and in the
into
space,
almost like a bed of stone.
Into yep. that space of the bed of stone.
Right, and its fancy name is like a sub-slab depressurization system, or right. they call it a radon mitigation system. Yeah. And incorporated with that pipe in the basement is what they call a manometer. And it looks like a little tube with a U on it. And it usually has a red or a blue liquid in there with some numbers. And you always want to see that liquid level offset. If it's ever both at the zeros, that means that the system is not working properly or is designed.
Okay, so instead of having an alarm like you would with like a septic with a pump-up system, this has a little gauge.
This has a little visual gauge on it, exactly.
Yeah. Wow. Good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking at your wonderful pamphlet here that you have, and I'm just going through a list of things that are inspected, and it's more extensive than I was aware. You know, when you're walking around with an inspector looking at the exterior of the house or the interior, you don't realize all of the many things that they're actually inspecting while you're prattling on and on and distracting them. So on here you have chimney. A lot of homes here in New England, of course, have chimneys. How common is it for a chimney to have problems?
Probably about 60% of them.
Wow.
And one of the most prevalent ones is people don't keep their chimney sealed. You know, periodically, at least every 3 to 5 years, there's this liquid that you put on the chimneys, and what it does is more of a repellent, so the brick doesn't absorb the water. And especially in New England, once the brick absorbs the water, a lot of times during the wintertime, they will freeze and expand and make these, you know, little fissures in there a little bit bigger, so next year, more water can sit in there, freeze and expand. And you'll see on some chimneys, you get some spalling or some larger chunks of brick actually fall out. Or sometimes you can get actually between the mortar and loosen the brick up and allows more water to go into the chimney and just kind of, you know, feeds on itself. So, you know, good preventive maintenance. And chimney work is very expensive.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
Masons are. But they do a good job.
Oh, absolutely.
A very good job. I've seen a lot of them that have pulled away. And there's usually some kind of a caulking or something that they try and put in, but they have the strapping.
Right. The key thing is making sure that this, you know, the settlement or what's causing that to occur has been fixed. You know, because just to put caulking in there, it will look good and make it sealed for a while. But if it's still moving, you know, a year from then, you're going to see that separation between the caulking and that gap's going to be there again.
Yep. So, well, since it's seasonally topical, do you think that the going into Christmas time, do you think Santa Claus has an effect on the structure
every once in a while?
Yep,
depending on what type of diet he had during the summertime, and if you get stuck, you know, sometimes it's a little top heavy. You can move the chimney.
If he ate as much as I did 2 days ago, oof, I tell you.
Oh, I hear you. I don't think I'm going to eat for a week. And Cindy's on paleo, so she's just fine.
Absolutely.
Once again, we have Cindy Ford, Rick Merriam, Donna Bagney, and our special host, Steve Cook from Imperial Home Inspection. We're going to take a break right now, so we'll be back.
Imperial Inspection Services, complete home inspection services, radon testing featuring on-site results with electronic testing, lead paint inspection, Title V inspection, pest inspection, including FHA and VA. Call 7 days a week, 1-800-440-1141, or visit them on the web at imperialinspectionservices.com. With 28 years experience in two convenient locations, Braintree and Cape Cod, accepting credit cards for all services rendered. Imperial Inspection Services, 1-800-440-1141. 1-800-440-1141.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
50% more talk real estate, absolutely free. Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. Now, 1 hour every Saturday morning on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back and staying with us. Once again, this is Donna Bagney sitting in for Sharon McNamara. We are here with Cindy Ford, Rick Merriam, and Steve Cook of Home Imperial.
Imperial Inspection Services.
If anyone needs to reach out to him, just to let you know, his phone number once again is 1-800-440-1141. Or if you'd like to touch base with Cindy, Rick, or Donna, you can, and Sharon, you can contact our office at 781-826-7300. So back to home inspection, Steve.
Yeah, after we can probably pick up where we left off a little while ago, you know, after the electrical service, generally we take a look at the plumbing in the house. We do kind of a visual of the drainage plumbing, so when you flush a toilet or run a sink, we take a look downstairs and look for any drips, rusted areas, loose connections. You know, is the pipe properly pitched so the water's flowing out of the property rather than being going the wrong way or level, where, you know, a lot of solids and stuff will tend to, you know, accumulate, and you're going to have, you know, slow drains and blockages. The other item would be a hot water tank. We look, you know, we let you know what type you have, whether it be electric, gas, indirect, or a tankless hot water unit. And most hot water tanks in general only last about 8 to 12 years today. So
I was actually down in my basement yesterday, and I noticed that the manufacturing date on mine is 2003. So I think I'm probably about for a new hot water tank before it lets go, because they...
And there's a great plumber, Mark
there
McNamara?
Is. We have, we yep, do. We go. Have Mark McNamara Plumbing. So I think as soon as he's done having his family fun, I'm going to have to give him a buzz. So
he has that beautiful commercial. It goes splish splash or whatever it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, splish splash.
You got it. But yeah, but most hot water tanks only last about 8 to 12 years. And once you reach that 10, 12 year mark, every day is kind of a bonus, you know, from then on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's part of maintenance, like a set of tires that, you know, have 100,000 miles on them. You just replace them before it goes flat. Same thing with a hot water tank. Once it gets to that age, you know, do it at your choosing. That way you can pick your plumber and the type of tank you want. Rather than letting the tank go and then you're at, usually it's December 24th.
But it's this manufactured date of 2003. What if it sat in a, it had been, it didn't come to my house for 2 years.
Right. Without a crystal ball, you don't know
exactly.
So use that as, you know, use that as a guideline. If you want to take a chance, buy a lottery ticket, get a couple more years out of it, and, you know, see what happens at that point.
Yep. But,
the importance of a hot water heater is finding out in the middle of the winter that you have no hot water.
Oh.
That is not fun.
Not at all.
At all. I've been through that. So I think I had to take showers at friends' houses or just cold showers for maybe 14 or 15 days before my new one.
Wow.
And then, yeah, but the absolute look of joy on my face when I took my first hot shower at home again.
Luxury.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's going to lead me to a question in regards to on the electrical panels. Do you also check the Genrad panels?
We do not.
You
know.
Don't.
Generators, we don't.
Okay.
And because that's usually a lot of times if it's a portable one that people will be taking it with them, they'll probably leave the panel box there.
Right. Which, so you don't check the panel box?
We do not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah. Because after that last winter that we had and we lost heat for a week, I swore I would never be cold again. So my son-in-law, who is a licensed electrician, gave me a Christmas present.
And isn't that nice?
Yeah, which was really, really nice. I'll put a plug in for Ryan Mann Electric right out of Pembroke. So if anybody needs that phone number, you give me a call at the office.
Need a generator, give her
exactly.
a call.
Exactly. We'll keep them working.
Do it
absolutely.
Now. Don't wait until the middle of the
Do
winter
not
until
wait.
Your power's
no.
gone. This
right.
is
I mean,
the
wait,
perfect
I've element. Had it. I've had it in for 2 years now, and we haven't had to use it, but after that week that we lost power. No,
just feel good having happening. It out there and saying, hey,
exactly.
Well, just go
and
out
you
there
know
and
what?
Turn it
it's
on.
A selling,
and off you
it's
go.
A selling feature for the house.
Absolutely.
Right.
We had to use ours for the first time, not in the winter, but remember when we had the, I don't know if we had a hurricane, I don't know what it was, but we lost power for 2 weeks in Pembroke, where I live, in the summer, and equally as bad.
Yeah.
You know, the refrigerator, you can't put anything outside in the cold from your fridge or your freezer. It was great, but we had, my husband made sure that everything worked. Do you know what I'm like?
Yeah.
All four televisions so that I can still watch
television.
I said, the refrigerator in the basement's not working, but all the televisions do?
Yeah.
Like, there's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
You should have been talking to him.
He had a different priority.
A little bit. Little
well, that's
bit.
Why I exclusively drink red wine these days. So if I lose power, I can keep drinking because nothing's going to spoil.
Exactly.
See? Smart.
God,
man.
I knew I loved this guy for a reason.
Many reasons.
Oh, boy. But the other is taking a look at the plumbing in the house, water pressure, which is usually key. And those are things where we run three or four different items all simultaneously and then flush a toilet. And then you can kind of watch the shower, you know, whether the pressure dips down. Then you know the limitations, if any, you know, with the home saying you can run the sink, you know, flush the toilet, but don't take a shower at the same time or you can or cannot.
And then you're testing the heat, the water.
Yep, testing the water, making sure the temperature comes up.
Because I like mine really hot.
You got it, yes.
But it's a little too hot because it's over what the recommended is for scalding.
Right, you don't want to get scalded.
Exactly, but I like the hot water.
Yep, and the other key thing is the main water shutoff of the home. That's key to know. And a lot of times we show the customers where that is. So if a pipe breaks, looks like a Three Stooges movie, at least they'll know where to head to shut off all the water to the home. You can get a plumber out there to fix things. And we take a look at the incoming line. Is it an old lead line coming into the house? And if so, that's something you'd want to update. You know, is it an old galvanized or steel line that's heavily rusted? Then we'd be telling the client, you know, good chance you're going to be replacing that line from here out to the street, you know, with that big trench to replace that line goes along with that.
I had a line had to be replaced that went from my oil tank to my burner.
Right.
I didn't even know that was a thing that had to be done. And they came and they said, you need to replace this. It's old and out of date.
Right. Yeah. Today, back, it sounds like in your home there, they just took the raw copper line that brings the oil from the oil tank to the oil burner.
Yeah.
They just buried that in the concrete. And what happens is the concrete reacts with the copper and causes it to corrode and get little holes in it. And what happens is all that oil when you get a hole in there, mm-hmm. goes below the slab of the house, and which isn't a good thing. No, today, all the lines are all sheathed, you know, with a piece of plastic on, and that line feeds through this plastic. So if there is a leak or that line becomes compromised, you'll be able to see on these ends of it some oil coming out of it.
And that's a great tip for our listening yep. audience, because you know what? When you're done here listening to Talk Radio with Sharon McNamara, go downstairs, take a look. If you do have oil heat, see if that pipe is still in the concrete, because really you should have that switched out, as Steve has talked about. It is something that if you do ever sell, that will have to be taken care of.
That would need to be updated at that
yeah,
point. But a lot of times, if you have an oil system and you have it, you know, properly maintained, having the surface fella come through once a year, mm-hmm. he'll make that recommendation, you know, during that yearly visit to, you know, update that, you know, oil line that runs on the bottom.
So how about inspection? I mean, cleanouts on oil versus gas?
Well, usually oil systems, you want to do those once a year.
Okay.
Whether you need them or not, and you know, usually the best time to do them is in the fall. That way, you pick up the optimum efficiency for the time that you're going to use the system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the most gas systems, the new ones today, but every 5 years, unless you have a problem.
Okay, because they run a lot cleaner than the oil.
They do, and they're mm-hmm. pretty much self-maintaining. There's not that many moving parts in there, opposed to an oil system. You have an oil filter at the tank that needs to be changed yearly, and there's a little nozzle in the burner that needs to be changed.
So we had a question about the bathroom.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting lost in the pamphlet here.
Yeah.
So, this is very extensive. And again, there's a lot of things here that I wouldn't know that you were looking at when you're inspecting a house. So it says here that it covers 14 categories for each bathroom. I didn't know there were 14 things in my bathroom. I have I probably have four, I think. And if my cat's in there, there's five things in my bathroom.
Right.
What are 14 things?
Well, some of the 14 things, just don't keep count. I may go a little under or
That's
a little
right.
over, but, you know, you get the walls, floors, and ceilings. And primarily the walls are very important, especially if you have a tile wall inside there, so that the tiles are here to the wall. And, you know, we give them a slight tap. If they're spongy, like a new sponge or something like that, that means water's getting up behind that.
You ever hit the wall and just have them fall off?
No. But I have heard inspectors have done that before. And when you do things like that, you can usually look at it and say, there's going to be a potential problem, so you don't want to go doing that. And what usually happens a lot of times on the weekends, if you have like the father and father-in-law that comes during the inspection, they're either ahead of you or behind you,
mm-hmm.
touching and breaking things, they've put their hand right through a wall before, and now they're sitting there. Oh, boy. You know, you broke the house.
Well, that's another... Sorry.
It's worth noting that, you know, if you want a way to bond with your father-in-law, have a home inspection because, you know,
But the main problem with that is, you know, none of the people during the inspection own the house. So you shouldn't be damaging or taking something apart that you shouldn't, you know, be touching.
I try and tell my clients...
Right.
Oh, I don't try. I tell them all the time.
Hands in your pocket.
Just... You know, you and maybe your dad one or two people tops, not the entire family and the grandchildren should be, because it's distracting and you're mm-hmm. paying money to have, you know, your best interest is at heart here. But with all this distraction, all these kids running around and all these, you know, them going ahead of the inspector or asking about something that the inspector hasn't gotten to is just not a good use of your time.
Right.
So I always say that to people, just one or two, but you really want, and it is an education process
right.
for them, what you go over about, you know, filters and the heating systems and the things that you're talking about, like where that main burner switch is.
Right.
These, a lot of young couples, they don't know what they don't know.
They don't
so
know.
It's an education process for them too, and I try to explain that to them. The fewer people that are there, the better. But the ones that, you know, if you want your dad there, I absolutely understand that, but we don't want the entire family there. That's
right.
my...
It's a distraction,
it is.
You know, for the buyers, and they lose a lot on the inspection because we're there. We only have X amount of time before we have to get to the next one, and if they're out picking the color of the room or... You know, right. we can't every time, oh, where did Joe go? Oh, where's Mary? You know, that takes 5 minutes to get everybody back. And then Joe will come down, and I just told Mary, and Joe, just can you tell my mother, too? Or up here comes the broker. You know, so you're explaining the same thing four times, and what's going to happen is you're going to lose a lot on the inspection because we got to get going. For us to show up late on the next one, you have four or five people out there waiting, the listing, the selling broker, saying, where's that Don Inspector? I have mm-hmm. an appointment after that. So it kind of snowballs, so timing is usually critical.
And as an agent, I am very impressed with Imperial Services.
Oh, thank you.
You have done many inspections on homes for my buyers, and I love the fact that it is overwhelming. It's a lot of information, especially first-time homebuyers that I love working with. They haven't been there before. So the education process. But at the end, when they get their report, which number one, you can actually read it.
Right.
Penmanship, very good. I think they all took penmanship lessons. But I've also heard a lot of the guys give out their card and say, you know, when you get home, when you're reading the report, if you have any questions, please feel free to give me a call, which I think kind of helps take out the frustration or the anguish of, oh my God, what did they say? What did he mean?
Right, and trying to think of everything as once I drive away, you're never going to be able
to
talk to me
again. And then
they're
going home and seeing mom and dad. Mom and dad are like, oh, let me take a look at this and, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That works out great in between, you know, inspections as we're driving to another one. We have three or four calls we have to make just for that reason. And, you know, once they've been able to go through the report, if they don't know something or remember something as, you know, well as they should have, you know, they can ask and we can walk it through it again.
And I think that's wonderful.
And it can be overwhelming for the first time home, very overwhelming. So one of the things I do with, and I use Imperial all the time, you know that, one of the things I ask the guys at the end is, okay, this was a lot of information, there were a lot of things in here, and some of them are, you know, a trip to Ace Hardware or Home Depot and you get this little thing and you take care of it. But I ask you always, can you help us just tell us what you feel are of the top three things that, you know, we need to address, you know, now?
Oh, absolutely. That you know, question happens every time.
Because it helps them, because they're just overwhelmed with the amount of pages and the amount of notes and the small little things that you have to point out if you're doing your job correctly for them, but that aren't such a, like, you know, there are, it isn't a reason for you to walk away from that property. They get nervous. They get very nervous.
Yeah, those top or three items or top 10 items, those are things that are going to affect you as soon as you pass papers. Turn that key and walk in there. You know, is the bathroom usable?
Right.
Can you cook? You know, do you have hot water? Do you have heat or AC in the home? Those are the main things that you want to have up and running so you can live in the house. Mm-hmm. Some of the things like bad paint or water damage on the ceiling or something like that, that can be fixed down the road. But as long as you get in the house, live comfortably, and those are
water
the key
damage.
Things.
A homeowner. Yeah. And there's a lot of water damage at this point.
Yeah, and that's another thing about, maybe there is, you can see that there was water damage, and finding out, you know, or knowing, because sometimes, you know, it's not disclosed, or I've worked with agents that, like, we had no idea about that. I'm like, oh my God, the stain is the size of Montana on that ceiling. How did you not see it? And how do you not, the homeowners didn't see it either, but knowing that something was taken care of, and they just didn't
paint the ceiling
again, or change that tile.
I didn't paint it
as
well as they should have. I didn't put a stain killer on it.
But it was taken care of. You know what I mean? Like, that's important, too, to know.
Yeah, we run across that every once in a while, and the stains, especially say if it's on a two-story house and there's a bathroom above that stain, you know, what we'll do is we usually start from the basement, first floor, and then up to the second floor. So if we come across that stain on the first floor, we have what they call a moisture meter, which we put on it. So let's say if the stain is dry when we test it there, after we go upstairs, we'll run the bathroom and everything for 10 or 15 minutes, the water flow. Before we leave the property, we'll go back down the first floor, retest that stain. If that stain is dry, chances are it's just something that, you know, happened in the past.
Yep.
If it's wet, then you know it's leaking. But a lot of times it's not 100% conclusive. So if we ran the water for 10 minutes, you know, does it take 12 minutes to get that stain wet? Then the next question is, check with the homeowner. You know, they repainted it. They may know the history on that, with the grandkids over, that they filled the tub up too much, water came over.
Right.
There's always a story behind that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there's the doorbell. I just wanted to let everyone know that it gives me a time to talk about real estate. Boston Connect actually is hosting many open houses this weekend. Jefferson Square, which is a condominium complex, we'll be having open houses Saturday and Sunday, 11 to 3. Pop over to Mariah's Path, Lantern Lane, Equestrian, and Farmside on Sunday, as well as there's a house at 375 Plymouth Street in Halifax. If you want to get all of the open houses that we have available this coming weekend, you can go to www.bostonconnect.com, and you can list all the open houses for this upcoming weekend. We do have just a couple of minutes left with the show. Next week, we are having Mike Damon from Damon & Associates on. He will be here with Sharon, and they'll be talking about pests. I actually would like to hear more about powder post beetles.
Yep.
With Steve at this point, but Matt Damon will be here. We'd like to, once again, you can connect with either Rick, Donna, Sharon, or Cindy at bostonconnect.com. Our phone number is 781-826-7300, and please reach out to Imperial Home Inspection, Steve Cook, and his phone number is 1-800-440-1141. We have a couple of seconds left, so Cindy?
Donna, if someone wants to reach you directly, how can they reach you?
They can reach me directly at 781-588-0386. I can take a cell. That's my cell, which will do text, and I'm always... It's attached to my body. And for Cindy, do you have a phone number direct?
I do, 781-367-4419. Always available.
Wonderful. And Rick, throw that phone number out.
I actually only use carrier pigeon these days. I just find it's very topical with Game of Thrones, you know, coming up soon.
Yeah, love his sense of humor.
My phone number is 774-454-1018. And I'm going to have to call Steve because... We only got to 5 out of the 14 things in the bathroom, and those other 9 things are going to haunt me.
We'll save that for future.
All right, fair
next show.
Perfect.
Many sleepless nights.
Perfect.
And Donna, I would like to thank you. You did a fabulous job
hosting
the show for Sharon. I'm sure she will be thrilled.
Those are some big shoes to fill.
And they actually are big shoes.
Yeah. So I hope no one is disappointed. But once again, she did reach out to me, and I said, okay, sure. So
great job. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. She deserves to have some time off.
Great.
And Steve, it's always wonderful sitting around and talking
to
you.
Thank you very much.
And Rick, you will be very successful in real estate. Welcome to Boston Connect. We're glad to have you.
Another 10 items next time we meet.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. Thanks so much.
You are. So once again, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening to WATD Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara. I think we're over and out. Have a great Sunday. Take care. Bye.